In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Looking at Jewish history reveals what the Jews thought basically about sickness. And they thought sickness, almost all sickness, came from the disapproval of God. In other words, when you left God, something happened to you. Something happened. Remember the man born blind? The disciples asked Jesus immediately, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Remember that? The Jews, therefore, had already been invited into the home of this young man who was a paralytic. Now, he may have been paralyzed through an accident. And as Jewish thinking is, well, yes, his legs, let's say, were trampled on by a horse. And so he was paralyzed. The horse broke his legs. He now can no longer walk. But they will not stop at that, will they? Because the etiology, it's a good word, E-T-I-O-L-O-G-Y. It means the origin of disease. The etiology of the disease is that he was a reckless kid. What was he doing around the horse? He had no business to be around the horse. It wasn't his horse in the first place. And that's why his legs were broken. So it comes down to, again, a spiritual defect on the part of the person who was injured. This is what I'm trying to get you to have this mindset. You are sick because you are wrong with God. You are wrong with God, therefore you have problems. This is the Jewish mindset. Sometimes when the Jews, who were very practical people, would find somebody and after they had done what they normally would do, they begin, which of course, I'm talking about exorcism. You remember the Sceva and his sons? And they went to the man who was possessed by a devil. And Sceva and his sons said to the man possessed by the devil, "Leave. We adjure you in the name of Christ, who Paul preaches." And the devil said to him, "What? Paul we know, Christ we know, but we don't know you." So the devil set upon this man and his sons, and ripped all their clothes off, and they fled the house naked. It's not just enough to fail. Humiliation follows right after the failure. So you remember these things from texts that you've read or heard before. So imagine now there is this paralytic. The Jews have already been there. The Jews have already used their invocations. Sometimes what they did was, if they thought a minor devil was possessing somebody, they would appeal to a devil of higher rank. Who's the prince of the devils? Beelzebub. It's not Satan. Satan and Beelzebub are not the same. You know, you have kings and you have princes. Princes are sons of kings. In the underworld, Satan or Lucifer rules. But his son, the heir apparent, Beelzebub. So when Jesus healed, you remember what they said to him? "You do not heal except by Beelzebub." Now, what did they mean? Did they mean that Jesus was Beelzebub? No. No. They meant that Jesus was appealing to Beelzebub. He was appealing to him. He was saying, "Beelzebub, let this other guy go." Now, when the devil does something that you request, guess what? There's a contract. And in that contract, you must fulfill the other portion, which may be, if you've read that great book, The Devil and Daniel Webster, and he sells his soul. There's all kinds of stories. Goethe's Faust. Faust sells his soul to Mephistopheles. I'm telling you these things to get you the background of how it was. Now, in our day, because this is reiterated in the Gospels, some of you are sick because you don't confess and you take communion. Some of you are sick because you don't even bother coming to church. Now, obviously, I'm not speaking to you personally because you're in church. So I must be speaking now, thinking that somebody might hear my voice over this recorded media. But some of you are sick spiritually, and you can go to doctor after doctor. You know, one of the things that that bothers me the most is when somebody goes to the doctor, and then they say, the doctor just can't find anything wrong with me, but I'm really, really sick. Uh-huh. And I always point to my head and go, cuckoo, cuckoo. That's why they have all of these drugs that they sell to people and say, oh, I have this chronic pain. Well, they don't give them an analgesic for chronic pain. They give them something that changes their brain chemistry. So that means that the pain is imagined. Now, what if the pain is actually there because of separation in the relationship with Jesus Christ? You can take any drug you want, you'll not find relief. You can go to any doctor that you want, you won't find relief. You'll find relief through a priest and confession. And that's the only way. And you'll work at it. Because in the stages of confession, the first thing that a person does is blame circumstances. I'd be good except for, you know. There was a comedian when I was growing up called Flip Wilson, and he used to always say, the devil made me do it. It was a one-liner. Whenever he got into a problem, he said, well, the devil made me do it. It's like that sign that you read on bumper stickers of cars. You know, blank happens. Yeah, blank happens. But whose responsibility was the blank? See, that's the thing. When you start to make excuses about the situation that you are in, what do you find as the result? Number one, you're still there. But you might find people who are also sick that gather around you. And these sick people commiserate. And they say, oh, well, it's okay. Yeah, you're sick. Okay, we're sick too. From now on, I want everybody to call me them. Because that's the new pronoun that I choose for myself. I'm not he or she anymore. I don't like it. You can call me them. Because, you know, when I got married, my wife and I became one flesh, so she's always here. So you can't refer to me in the male pronoun he anymore. Abuna, he did it. No, Abuna, them did it. Isn't that silly? Isn't that absolutely idiotic? Do you know now that there are people that will tell you with a straight face that there are more than 60 different ways of referring to an individual because of their own proclivity, their own sexual identity? God made them male and female. But mankind turned them into 60 freaks. Men and women did that. And you know how? By their assent. They said, okay, you're a freak, I'm a freak. Hey, we're all freaks, we're a family of freaks. Guess what? There's more freaks than straight people. Okay, so now we're going to run things. I hope I'm talking to people that are listening. The paralytic had four friends, however. And they heard that there was a new rabbi in town, because that's all that he was known as at the time. He was just a rabbi. They've taken him to lots of rabbis. No healing. But when Jesus saw him, he saw the need of his situation. This is why when he said, son, in another place he said man, but in this place he said, son, your sins are forgiven. So guess what got him sick in my imagination? He did something sinful. And the sin would lead him to a series of interconnected events, maybe leading to something down the line even worse. He was paralyzed, but you can be paralyzed on the inside. Your limbs move, but between your ears, you are paralyzed. You are captured and held hostage by sin. You're captive and held hostage by your own desire and passion that is ungodly. But his friends had faith, so they dropped him in the midst of the Lord and those that he was speaking to. The Lord forgave him, and then people began to murmur. Now the scribes had already defined, they had already defined inside themselves as a group, who can forgive sins? Who can do it? God alone. The scribe said, God alone. And to this we all should say, amen. We believe. So be it. We believe that. God alone. So then when Jesus said, so that you will know I have the power to forgive sins, I say to you, paralyzed young man, get up. Pick up your bed. Walk. And what did they say? He must be God. Because we just said only God can forgive sins. And he just said, so that you will know that his sins are forgiven. I'm telling, he's not going to have a convalescent period. He's not going to slowly get better. His legs aren't going to be on the mend through physical therapy. He's going to get up and walk. And he's going to walk right now. Right now. Proof enough for me, but not proof enough for them. And remember, when we think about the Jews, think about yourself being a Jew. Think about yourself being a Jew. What is it that separates you from that Jew? There's only one thing: your willingness to believe. The reason that the Jews are hated, if I can use that word, castigated, separated. The reason that they are is because they will not believe. They will not believe. You know, belief is everything. They were all amazed and they glorified God, but the young rabbi sitting in front of them that had just pronounced those very deep words, they dismissed. Don't think out of the compassion of your heart that everybody sitting next to you is the same. Some people that are sitting next to you are not the same as you. And again, I'm not just talking about church, but wherever you sit, you go to work, you're in your car, you're in the mall or in some shopping area. The people who are next to you may look like you, they may speak like you, they may be polite like you, they may be politically correct like you, but they are not like you, because if you believe, you must then act. And if you can't act, it is because your unbelief is way greater than your belief. And you're a Jew. So, find a new home. Find a home. But let not that person call themselves Christian. Because if you go down that road, the only thing you do is dilute Christianity. Well, Christianity means this. Oh, we love. God loves. He sure does. But do you know that after you are accepted, then you are expected? After you are accepted, you are expected. There's the expectation that you are going to do certain things. These signs are going to follow the believers, it said. These signs will follow. Yes, the Lord will take the least of us, and He will leave the most honored and glorious of us for that poor, insignificant person. But once that person has been accepted, then he will be expected. Otherwise, the whole thing is a sham. You know, I love you, but you can trust me, but I'm going to do this, but I promise to, but and nothing happens. And what do you call a person like that? Not Christian. There is a commandment. Things are expected of those who receive. To whom much is given, much will be expected to return. All right. Again, I remind all of you about the service that our church extends to the whole diocese next week. We're having an open house. It's our festival. And we are inviting them to eat some really good food from the women in this church. And we are inviting them to come and share in our joy at being here now for, what is it, a year and a month or two. And just the general kind of pleasure that you find at any party to share in the conviviality and the love of brothers and sisters. And glory be to our God for making us so.